Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, 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 oh.
Oh yeah. Oh no.
Oh yeah, it's Empowerment Hour. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. Show my man Marvin Rowan and the crew. Busting that dude today. Oh, we're going to talk about what we doing. What we doing, y'all? Coming right up. And much, much more. Let's get started. Come on, sister. Come on with me. Yeah. Y'all know what comes next. Better love. That's what we got. Oh, yeah. There's no better love than for self and kind. No better love. You hear what I say? No better love. Who's going to love us? We do. We're going to have to. Again, the topic today is, what are we doing? What are we doing with our kids? What are we doing to each other? What are we doing to ourselves? What are we doing to our relationships? What are we doing to our communities? What are we doing, people? I'm talking about African Americans, right? All other groups of society. I mean, you can join us if you want to. A few people of color, and if you're not, just, we need help. Question is, what are we doing? Again, we have to have agendas. So here are the tenets of the NAAEA. Tenets of the NAAEA. The tenets. National African American Empowerment Association. We need to be empowered. We do. We need to have strategies in place. And if you don't do them collectively, we need to at least start individually to have a political agenda, working on ourselves. We got to do the work of working on ourselves. And we're going to have to be able to invest in one another. We're going to have to invest in our children. We're going to have to invest in our children's future. So here are the tenets. It's the peace program. It's the peace concept. Again, every week. Political. You got to have a political agenda. The politics in your area. We've got an election coming up in Virginia for the governor. Who are you voting for and why? And are those folks that you're going to vote for on every level, do they have our best interests in mind? Again, we're losing political traction, right? We're working on being the third largest group, minority group, second largest in the country. Right? Statistically, I believe it's more, but, you know, it seems to be that we're coming in second behind Spanish-speaking people, if I put it that way, our brothers and sisters. So, I mean, if we coalesce with them, we'd be doing a good job, but we're going to have to work together. So we're going to have a political agenda that speaks to what our needs are, wherever we are. And those have to benefit us. I'm going to say over and over again, benefits, benefits. What are the benefits of your vote? You're going to have to do it, right? And again, you might not want to hear it, but it's true. Right? We need, look, every other group has an agenda in place. Every other group. Why don't we have one? Economics, economic agenda. I'm spelling out peace, P-E-A-C-E. What's your economic plan, platform, and agenda? How are you producing wealth, and how are you going to pass that on to the next generation? These people out here got multi-billion dollar enterprises. And even if we do mom and pop shops, we're doing something to generate income and economics in our communities, right? We have to do that. We do. We have to have an economic agenda that propels our children to get the tools and strategies that they need to be excellent in whatever they want to do. A, this is my best favorite part, athletics, health, wellness, fitness, nutrition. Do you have a health, wellness, and fitness, nutrition agenda? Takes care of your body and your mind, your physical agenda, your mental health agenda, your emotional health agenda. Are you in control of yourself? Are you a good self-manager? Do you have self-management strategies? Are you taking care of your health? Are you on those pills? Right? We have to be able to have a strategy in place to take care of our wellness, mental wellness, physical wellness, emotional wellness. We got to do that. We do. Do you have a fitness program and agenda? Are you out walking? running, working out, doing something to keep that heart pumping and strong. Again, we lead the league in health disparities. And so when you think about how hard COVID is hitting, it's hitting some of our people who are not well. Just that simple. C, culture. Relevant cultural activities. We need them. We do. You got to have programs and activities that enrich us, that strengthen us, that give us confidence. And what we need most is confidence in who we are now. Again, we have a manufactured culture. We do. And we're trying to put it together. That's why we had a Kwanzaa segment, the Willie Lynch segment, to give us information. But also cultural programs to get us in tune with our cultural heritage, right? Because we're not just Africans in America. We're not. We have American history and we have African history. We're dual citizens, actually. And that's probably a good thing when you really think about it. Let's try to have cultural things that strengthen our children. Again, we got to do that. Lastly, education, comprehensive education that really looks to strengthening us, that we know some stuff. You got to teach, train, and develop your young people. You do, right? Husband and wives, wives and husbands, couples, partners, pairs, right? You got to do it. We gotta put ourselves in position to be successful. And that is the work that we're going to have to do. We're going to have to do it. I mean, we just do. We're going to have to do that, right? And so there's no other way. Those are the tenets of the NAAEA. Join the NAAEA. www.theempowerment.weebly.com. www.naaea.weebly.com. Become a member. Write it down. Go out, join, help us continue to advocate for ourselves. And that's the Stan Macklin moment. Stan, are you there? Deck is packed.
Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got this deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in. This is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
Stan is so right. We got to stop trying to get in to fit in and create, start becoming producers again. What are we producing in our communities? And if we are producers, how can we bring somebody else along? Teach, train, and develop. Give them the skills that they need. Give them support that they need, right? We have to unify. We got to come together. We have to come together. We have to coalesce. That's my plea.
But we must unify. And don't, let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are,
mm-hmm.
original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
That's so true. That's so, so, so true. All right, we're going over to the Willie Lynch moment with Brother George. Bringing you in, Brother George, right now. Oh, yeah. Y'all know. To bring it. Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, good welcome to the Empowerment Hour. Good afternoon, brother. How are you?
I'm doing fine, brother. All praise Allah.
All right, it's yours. It's yours.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to segment. I try to mind you that every week, you know.
You're welcome,
really appreciate
brother.
It. And hopefully it serves the purpose. Today, today the Kwanzaa principle is NIA, which is purpose, to make our collective vocation the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. I think that's a hell of a statement right there. And it's an honorable statement, you know, to state the fact that we have a tradition of greatness about us in our past that we need to bring back into fruition. And I know that we will. We'll work hard to do it. In the Willie Lynch segment, I'm going to talk about a brother, you know, I'm going to speak from a brother's paper that he wrote back in the 1800s. And it's kind of ironic that some of the people in this country, some of the brothers, and you know, that have billions of dollars, didn't know that our people was putting up a fight to get out of slavery. That we were rebelling and revolting and trying to do whatever was necessary to get out of the clutches of the Europeans. But this is at the beginning of David Walker's appeal. If any single event may be said to have triggered the Negro revolt, it is the publication of David Walker's appeal to the colored citizens of the world in September of 1829. The slaveholding South said in its only incitement, seen in its only incitement to servile rebellion, and went to fantastic lengths to suppress it. Even in the North, where slavery was generally opposed in principle, moderates insisted that the time for abolition had not yet come, and agreed that the pamphlet was inappropriate and incendiary. Incendiary it was and is, if by the term we mean that it decries hypocrisy, repudiates injustice, calls for resistance to patent wrong. For Walker, writing with all the fervor, the power, the sense of mission of a Christian martyr, which he was all too soon to become, took dead aim at the argument used then to sanction slavery, and still invoke today, a century after the abolishment, to justify denial to the Negro for yet a few more years or decades or centuries of the civil rights that are the unquestioned heritage of every white American. The argument that the Negro is a different species, not quite human, and therefore not to be confused with all those men who, according to the Declaration of Independence, were created equal. It was Walker's ungentle probing that first laid bare the deep-seated schizophrenia of the South, where the right hand held the Bible and the left hand held the whip. I think that was very interesting, because they're still trying to deny us civil rights today. They're trying to create voting laws that they think would impact the black community by structuring things in such a way to make it a huge inconvenience for us to get their documents or either to vote. And that, you know, that's it's ironic that that's still happening today. And mm-hmm. It was mentioned, you know, like the person that did the introduction to his appeal would write something to that effect. But brother, I thank you for the time, you know, and if you have any questions on my opinion about this, then shoot, I'm here.
All right. Of course, as always. With the appeal, what is the most important part of the appeal? Because I'm sure some of our people are not familiar with it, that our people need to understand as they listen and grow.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a whole lot of important parts of David Walker's appeal, but the main thing, you know, like, you have our people don't really understand that, as was stated here, that even in the North, where there were so-called abolitionists, they too were not in favor of the freedom of our people. And so my point is that within his appeal, our people needed to understand that the only way that we're going to get out of this fix is we're going to have to do it ourselves. It's not going to be anyone that's going to give you anything, including the so-called abolitionists. And it still exists today, you know. And I think the brother's name was Kobe Cambone, who said, "Don't tell me nothing about no good white people, because good white people ain't nothing but shields for bad white people." And so within Edward Walker's appeal, the same point is made, you know, that in order for us to gain our freedom, we're going to have to do it ourselves. And so, as you, what was mentioned there, you know, was that he was saying that lit the fuse for, like, Nat Turner, for, like, Denmark Vesey, for, like, Gabriel Prosser, you know. So it was his appeal, in which I thought was a very courageous thing. And it also was very organized, you know, what David Walker did, because He had to sew the appeal inside of the jackets of the, I think it was Merchant Marines, that were going up and down the coast of the East Coast of the United States. And he had to sew it inside of their jackets, and then once they would get to their destination, they could make copies of it, you know, and then pass it out to as many of our people, you know, that could read or have someone read it to them as possible. And so that's my feedback on David Walker's appeal.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, as always. Again, these are the books that you can go out, get it for yourself, read, learn, and grow. It's my favorite part here. You know what we got to do? We got to step up our game. We do. We got to have purpose. We have to build, develop, and restore. And instead of tearing up and tearing down, we need to be building ourselves, building communities, building children. That's why the question is, what are we doing? What are we doing, y'all? Just like David Walker's appeal is, what is the appeal that I'm making to y'all now about what we need to do for ourselves? Because the deal is, no one's going to give you anything. That time is over. We have to do for ourselves, with ourselves, not by ourselves, but by us together. We got to do that. We're going to have to light a fire. A fire must be lit up under you first, within yourself, within your household, within your families, within your communities, right? We got to be the guiding light for some of our people that are in the dark, mental darkness, emotional darkness, spiritual darkness, right? And bring them into the light of coalescing and working together. Now, is that going to happen overnight? Absolutely not, because we've had so much going on, but we can start today. So the question is with you, whoever you are listening today, what can you do to work on yourself first and then begin to give back and begin to do the work of working on yourself, your mind? And again, the question today is, what are we doing? What are we doing to each other? What are we doing to ourselves? And how can what that thing is be positive, peaceful, and productive over and over and over and over again? Utilizing the peace concept in our lives. We need peace. We do. We really, really do. And can we use the Kwanzaa principles? And can we understand the infection of Willie Lynch and how it has divided our minds and our hearts and even each other, male and female, pitted us against each other? Got to come together. Oh, we got to come together. We must come together. How do we do that? We got to have some principles to live by. And I'm asking you, I can't tell you what to do, but find something good about yourself. And then if you would just decide to add a principle or two to your life that you live by, concretely, etch it in you. Etch it in yourself. Hear the laws of my eyes. I'll be back in there. I'm going to 9282.
The 42 laws of Ma'at.
Just use one.
I have not committed sin. I have not committed robbery with violence. I have not stolen. I have not slain men or women. I have not stolen food. I have not swindled offerings. I have not stolen from God. I have not told lies. I have not carried away food. I have not cursed. I have not closed my ears to truth. I have not committed adultery. I have not made anyone cry. I have not felt sorrow without reason. I have not assaulted anyone. I am not deceitful. I have not stolen anyone's land. I have not been an eavesdropper. I have not falsely accused anyone. I have not been angry without reason. I have not seduced anyone's wife. I have not polluted myself. I have not terrorized anyone. I have not disobeyed the law. I have not been excessively angry. I have not cursed God. I have not behaved with violence. I have not caused disruption of peace. I have not acted hastily or without thought. I have not overstepped my boundaries of concern. I have not exaggerated my words when speaking. I have not worked evil. I have not used evil thoughts, words, or deeds. I have not polluted the water. I have not spoken angrily or arrogantly. I have not cursed anyone in thought, words, or deeds. I have not placed myself on a pedestal. I have not stolen what belongs to God. I have not stolen from or disrespected the deceased. I have not taken food from a child. I have not acted with insolence. I have not destroyed property belonging to God. The 42 laws of Ma'at.
How about that? Try one. Try one on for size. Or two or three. These are the ancient values. I'm not saying any other value system won't work, but if you just think about what you have heard and say, I have not done this, means you haven't done it. And then add on to that. And again, I think we can refine some values. And it's just about principles to live by. Doesn't have to be those. But what principles are you living by that are governing you and the things that you do, think, and say, and how you act, how you treat each other, and how we need to get back to some value system that's going to allow us to continue to love on each other? Because right now, we need it. I'm going to 9282. 9-2, you ready? 8-2, you ready? Here we go. Going to the lines. Let's go, y'all. Bring it.
Bring it! What?
Oh, yeah. 9-2-8-2. What's happening, brother?
I'm my brother Peace. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. May peace be unto you, brother.
Yes, sir, and unto you the same. Brother, glad you asked the question. What are we doing? Okay.
Yeah, what are we doing?
What are we doing? Before I answer that, I want us to remember something. Remember the first characteristic of the one is honest with yourself. The one is honest with him or herself.
I like that one.
And it's hard to go down the list to the other characteristics until we understand and implement that one. Be honest with yourself. Being honest with ourselves, we must admit that what we are doing is what we, or niggers, are supposed to do. We are doing what we are supposed to do. We are doing what we were made to do. We are doing the things we are supposed to do. That's why we were so-called freed off the plantation, because the niggers know how to act. We are committing adultery like we were told to do. We are committing fornication like we were taught to do. We are lying, stealing, cheating, murdering, being detrimental to our children, beating our women. We are doing all those ungodly things that we were told to do.
I can't fight you on that.
You're off the plantation, okay? Because we know, just like a trained dog, we know how to act. So we were taught, and as Willie Lynch emphasized, to destroy ourselves. Turn against one another, divide ourselves from each other, hate ourselves, therefore hating each other. We're doing what we were what we are supposed to do. That's why I love it when a white person have the audacity to come to me and ask me what's wrong with black folk. I said, I dare you to ask me that goddamn question.
Oh.
Y'all did it. Everything we are, you made. We are doing exactly what you want us to do. So don't blame us. Blame yourself. If you won't blame, but you're not blaming anybody. You love what we're doing. You just act like you don't like it. You know? Remember that first characteristic. We must be honest with ourselves. But that's going to be a hard nut to crack, because we're so in love with the evil that we're doing that we have been taught by our master off the plantation. We can't walk away from it. It's ingrained in us. It's drilled. But see, brother, let me say this right quick. We have to understand about our creator, God, Allah, Buddha, Jehovah, whatever you call the creator, that he made everything. Everything, including evil. He's encompassed everything, good and evil, which also means it's in us. Good, we have God's greatness in us, and we have God's evil in us. But what God does, because God is the creator of all things, God masters and controls the evil in him, like we all are supposed to be able to do. But something happened in the past where we were kidnapped by our evil side, by our evil brethren, okay? And in raising us, we were not taught the greatness that's in us. We were not taught the God that's in us. We only were allowed to learn about and develop the evil that's in us. In fact, we were taught that we cannot be God, that we cannot do the great things that's in us, the greatness of our daddy that's in us. That's too far-fetched. No way, nigga, can you be God, but you can be the devil. You can be that evil side of God, like your master is the evil side of God. That's all we were allowed to learn. And therefore, today, we ourselves don't dare believe that we God. We don't dare let ourselves think that God's greatness is in us. We don't think we will ever see that kind of greatness until we're in the grave. And up in heaven, again, something taught by our master. So we never see it. So that's what we're doing. We absorbed in the, excuse me, mama, in that bullshit. We've been taught by our evil side, by our evil nature, and we don't dare believe that we can do anything other than we do. We're fighting for it. We're fighting for that evilness. Like Stan said, we want to get in to fit in. Everything we're talking about doing, we're talking about freeing ourselves and changing our plight in this country. It's all things designed to fit in, get in to fit in. Every one of them. Go vote. Fit in to get in. If you don't vote, it's your fault. If we don't vote, it's your fault that evil white man got in there. You should have won and vote. What are you telling me? It's my fault that an evil white man won the election and got in because I didn't go vote? No, it's not my fault. It's his fault. If the system, how the society is set up, damn right he's going to get in. What's that one white man is good and the other one ain't, and the other one is evil? Come on. So it's a crapshoot with us all the time? We got to go roll the dice and say, Lord, please let me pick the right white man. that I'm voting for, what's it? Get in to fit in. That's what we're doing. Get in to fit in. We got to go get that money. We got to go get that money, that honey, baby, so we can pay the rent. And how about get the money, honey? Get in to fit in. What about creating your own money? What about creating your own medium of exchange? What about creating your own system versus this one we don't
right.
This evil system that we're in? You know what I'm saying? We're doing all the evil things that we've been taught, like we said a few weeks ago, brother. Who hands catching that baby when it comes out the womb? What are they teaching
That's
him?
True.
You know what I'm saying? And brother, if we were godly people and doing great things and so forth, the greatness of our Father, I guarantee you we wouldn't be homosexuals. We wouldn't be lesbians. We wouldn't be whoremongers. We wouldn't be none of those things because we've been raised by the evil side of the greatness that's in us, of the evil side that's in God is in us because we don't know the greatness that's in us because we have not been allowed to develop that. We only been allowed to develop that evil side of us, that evil greatness that's in us because that evil is in God. But God masters it, like I said. We need to master it and kick the devil out of us and understand that we are great gods. It's in
All right.
us. It's in us, brother. That's what we're doing.
All right.
We also need to learn to what we should be doing. Just flip it. Okay?
All right. All right.
Thank you, brother.
All right.
Thank you, brother.
I like it. That brother said you got to be honest with yourself, which is true. So true. I'm asking to find the goodness within you. Find the goodness within yourself. That good piece of real estate, right? The best parts of you. And produce that in your life. The other people can see it. Become a representative of that for our group that's been marginalized and mistreated and enslaved. You know all of this stuff, right? Can we get back to our, again, authentic selves, however that is, right? Whether that's practicing tools that you already do, just get good at it. All right. I am going to go to Dr. Amos Wilson, and then I'm going over to 3306 if you're ready to talk.
White Americans have a criminal history. They have a criminal nation. The nation is built on criminality and murder.
Sorry.
And exploitation.
It's true.
It is a part of their collective psyche. The United States is a mafia government. No one has done more damage and degradation and murder, rape, and robbery than Europeans. Yes. Therefore, in order to escape confrontation with their true criminal nature, they must accuse others of being criminals. What we call projection. They must become obsessed with the criminality of other people. And black folk become those other people, you see. But as Clinton Cox say, you call the Indians savages so you can behave toward them what? Savagely. That's the function of stereotyping, you see. If I call you a criminal, then I can treat you what? Criminally. I don't owe you justice. In fact, shooting you in the street is justice. We know you are already a criminal. Why should we bother to take you to trial? Yes, that's what it is. We're doing a service. We're saving the taxpayers' money. What have we lost? A criminal? What are you complaining about? Yeah, this is the deal. What does it mean then? When you can become, then often people, in order to escape certain problems, become obsessed with other issues, to the point where they don't have time or the energy or anything else to think about anything else. They don't see anything else. So I can forget my self-hatred. I can forget my self-alienation if I concentrate on how much I love myself. But this is a bad kind of love, you see. It's not the right kind of love. If I concentrate on what? How great I am. If I concentrate on making other people see what, how great I am, you see. And therefore, my 24 hours a day, I'm obsessed by projecting my what? Greatness. And I will, But that greatness is coming out of what? Hatred and inferiority. And since
I'm going to stop it right there. Dr. Amos Wilson, we got to look at ourselves. We just do. And the question again is, what are we doing? What are we doing, y'all? What are we doing to ourselves? With our mindsets, with our mentalities? How are we going to educate our children? How are we going to be freestanding people, positive, peaceful, productive people on this earth? No matter whether we're in this country or wherever we are, we have to be the best that we can be. All right, I'm going over to 6306. 6306 coming your way. Oh, yeah. It's a popping hour. Come on.
Bring it.
At 6306, you there?
Hey, can you hear me?
Hey, yeah, hey, welcome.
Hey, thank you. I actually don't have a whole lot to say today, but I am glad. I haven't been on the call in a while, but I'm glad to be here and listening to everybody.
All right, well, welcome back. If you got something, you know what to do. But for
yes,
right
I
now,
do.
Keep on doing what you're doing. At least you're on the line. Thank you,
yes,
sister.
Thank you.
All right. When you gone, ain't no coming back in the morning like this, but the dream gone. I like that. Again, right? As long as you're listening, and hopefully we can continue to listen and then apply. Apply, apply. Again, you know, a lot of people say, well, you got to talk every week. We're talking every week because hearing comes by the word. And the more you hear, the more it goes in. Just like indoctrination. We're just in a good way. Right? Information is good. Right? You can take one tool, one book, one idea, one concept, and apply it to your life, and things begin to change. And if we could change our communities one person at a time, one mindset at a time, one thought process or pattern at a time, then we got it. At least we got to start somewhere. I'm advocating right now. We need each other more than ever. 0673. You're welcome. Come and join us. On the Power of an Hour. Come on.
Bring it. What?
0673 is the People Show.
Hey, Hotep Africa, how you doing, man?
Hotep, my brother, how are you?
I'm doing fine. There's so much to say. I like those Maya principles, right? And one he said, I wasn't even familiar with, he said, I have not closed my ears to truth. And I thought that was very, very powerful, right? And I was thinking that maybe that's a solution, right? A lot of times we try to find a partner, we look at just the physical attributes. You know, I've got to my point now, I'm getting old in age, right? I'm looking for intellectual stimulation.
I heard that.
And I think, because you got some people on his phone from different backgrounds and know a whole lot of stuff. So if you look for someone that stimulates you intellectually, right, you're looking for someone who's strong where you are weak. You know what I mean? That's what you're looking for. So if someone knows a lot about their history and you don't, you should get close to that person. If you, mm-hmm. you see a person physically fit, knows about exercise, and knows about to keep their heart circulating and everything in motion, you need to find somebody who's strong where you are weak. And we seem to be strong in a whole lot of areas. We're not historically astute. We're not politically astute. I mean, so you should get around some people who know a lot of information. Now, when I was listening to what George was talking about David Walker's appeal, even before David Walker and Nat Turner and Gabriel Prosser, there's something in you that longs to be free anyway. It's just there. You know what I mean? They tell you about the police dogs they train. They don't tell you about the ones that get away. You know, and there was one lion that was Dick McFarland who broke away. So even if someone never wrote a book, there's something in you that longs to be free anyway. And I always quote something from Barbara Sizemore, a great teacher, right? She said, power is getting people
right.
to do something they don't want to do. She said, power is getting people to do something they don't want to do. She said, if they could do it anyway, it's that power. You know what I mean? It's not power. And so if you look at look at history, for example, right? They never changed in the 60s and the 50s, right? When it came to economics and things like that, it was a boycott. And people said their hearts changed. No, if their hearts changed, you wouldn't have had a boycott in the first place. All right? So when they had the bus boycotts, economic situations changed. They started losing money. Their heart ain't changed. Their heart ain't changed, but they start losing money, so they start opening doors, right? So she was saying power is getting people to do something they don't want to do. And if they was going to do it anyway, it's not power. So we have to take that in mind when we try to have some things that we want done. People are not just going to give you power. They're not just going to hand over the enjoyment they had for years, just like our enslavement. You know, they always want to get credit to European abolitionists. And what the problem with that is you take away from the Nat Turners and the Gabriel Prossers and the Dukeman Buddies and all those, right? Where Europeans were like, you know what? This slavery thing got to go because I can't sleep at night. I can't sleep at night. It was something I thought that there was one of my faithful servants, right, got an axe by my head. So I just add to that, right? And as people start commenting on this program, I may add more to add. But right now, that's all my contribution for today.
Okay. Thank you, brother. I appreciate
Thank
that.
You, Beth. Let me have a voice.
Always. Always. You had a voice. Again, this is a people show. This is a conversation for African Americans. It's for us, right, to dialogue, to share, right? Even if you don't like it, consider it. Think about it, what the perspective is or the point of view that somebody is trying to share. And then take a little bit of it, right? And then go do some research for yourself, right? Go back and research Gabriel Prosser or David Walker or Dr. Amos Wilson, Dr. John Henry Clark, Dr. Ben, those scholars, right, that have done the work. And then see what we could come up with. Right? Because that is what we need to do. We need to do the work. Right? And it's going to be up to us to do the work of working on ourselves. No other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. So I'm going to try something today. Right? And I don't know how this is going to work, but bear with me because I want to see where it's going. Here we go.
After the show, the departing guests usually have something to say. George Carlin had something to say to us.
Tonight Show, why not talk about the Today Show? Hi, Brian. Hi, Katie. Hi, Willard. Who am I forgetting?
That's Gene.
Hi, Gene. That's what I'm going home to do right now.
George Carlin outside the Tonight Show studio in 1990.
That's not what I wanted. Anyway. It was about George Carlin. If y'all can go look it up yourself, George Carlin basically said that this political system is a bunch of people in power who continue to put things in place so they can stay in power. It's basically what the brother said. And I tend to believe that no matter what structure you believe in, it all comes back to you and what you do in your home. The habits that you have, the actions and the activities that you take on, and those strategies that you put in place to make the world a better place right where you are. And so the state is so right, right? We are original kings and queens. And we have to be able to absorb that energy. And we have to become positive in our doings, in our actions, and in our activities. Right? And so we're asking you to look at the structures, look at the political structure, look at the economic structure, look at your family structures. What are we doing? Right? What are we doing? Right? Are we buying in? Right? Again, right? I can't tell you what to do. All I can do is open up a window and have you to look through it. Right? How much money are we spending on these holidays when we could be having a plan for how we could take that money that we're just spending and use it for something useful at Christmas time, for example, at Thanksgiving time, for the money that we put in at Valentine's Day, right? The money that we just put out there to make other people rich. Sorry. We do, right? And I'm not telling you what to do with your money, but you got to become wise. You do. You just very, very, very much do. I'm going back to the lines now, and I'm going back to 6306. But we got to think about it. That's all I'm saying, right? Think about your political agenda, right? And like the brother said, we got to participate or not. Either way, it's going to go on. But again, I say if you're going to be here, if you're going to be here, you better be able to put yourself in a position to be successful. All right, 6306.
Hey. Hey, I do have a question.
Hey.
You were talking about the political agenda, and I wanted to go back to something that Mr. Chambers said, so I have a question for him. You know, because he mentioned earlier about voting and how we're voting to vote in the best white man or whatever the case is or whatever. So, you know, we hear his point of view every week on this, but what I would like to know is where they have us in the nigger agenda. What does he suggest that we do when it comes to things like politics and just buying stuff? I mean, you know, we hear this every week about this nigger agenda they have us in. So what do, Mr. Chambers, what do you suggest we do to not be in this quote-unquote nigger agenda that they have us in? That's kind of what I'm in the dark about, you know, when you give your point of view on the position they have us in.
All right. I'm going to bring him in just a second. Let me bring him in the right way. You know, I got to bring him in. Here we go. 9282.
Bring it. What?
9282 is on you.
Yes, sir, brother.
You got
thank
a question.
Sister. Yes, sir. And it's a simple answer that we currently are constantly supposed to be working towards. We need to flip that script. As they say, come together and unite and vote for this thing. Come together and take a stand as a people for what we're going to take a stand for. You know, I've said it before. If we were united as a people, as one, okay, to where, and just imagine this, if that on election day, this November the 2nd in the state of Virginia, when we're voting for the governor of Virginia, if not one black person or person of color went down to vote at all, not one, but we all were somewhere together getting our plan together for what we're doing moving forward, think of the impact that would have. But they would say, oh, my God, because basically white folk going to do what white folk want to do. I don't care who you vote for and who in that office, you know, who you vote for and who in that office. Like the brother said, that power is never given. There's no such thing as a peaceful revolution. As Malcolm said, power is never given. Our strength is in our unity, is in our numbers when we stand together as one, okay? I looked up civil rights during the time when I talked to you earlier today. And we've been fighting for civil rights, okay? Civil rights, the definition of civil rights, the non-political rights of a citizen especially, the rights of personal liberty guaranteed to U.S. citizens by the 13th and 14th Amendment to the Constitution and by acts of Congress, okay? That's rights granted. If you understand the meaning of that, that's rights we gave our slaves. Originally, they weren't in the Constitution, so we had to put amendments in there to say, okay, now, if y'all treat the niggas like this and violate like, okay, you're violating our civil rights, and we're going to prosecute y'all. What about our rights at birth from God? I want to fight for my godly rights, not civil rights. I want to fight for my God-given rights at birth. I do not want to be fighting for rights for my slave master other than freedom from him totally.
And so, Mr. Chambers, I do have a question, though. So
okay.
Don't we have groups of black people that are doing that now? I mean, because what about Stacey Abrams and the work that she's done in Georgia?
She's getting us to the polls to vote more. I'm talking about coming together, uniting as a people, and really, if we show them our non-participation in the system, like Stan said, stop trying to get in to fit in. If we show them that that's been dogging us, and we had enough of that. We as a people taking this stand, and we want y'all to hear what we're talking about and what we're going to do, and if we can stand together as one doing that, then the power in that would be awesome.
But we've already had black people that have non-participation. So isn't non-participation allowing them to do whatever they want to do even more?
By us showing
our power and going out there to vote, it seemed like to me we're showing our power. I mean, I'm a little confused as to what you feel like we should do. I'm saying
come stand together as one without – just think of it if we stood together as a people and didn't participate in the things they want us to participate in. You know, I had a conversation some years ago when black folk were marching, we were marching for Martin Luther King's birthday, okay?
Mm-hmm.
See, I think we advocate for things that white folks want us to advocate for. They just make us think that they don't want us to have them, so we put together our little marches and so forth to get the things they're going to give us anyway. But as one guy, we were talking about this and said, look, if you want Martin Luther King's birthday to be a holiday, then unite as a people and just don't go to work on that day. And what would they do on that day back then if every black person in this country came January the 15th, did not show up to work? Everyone. We don't need you to grant us a holiday for our man, if our leader, if that's what we want to say. We're going to take it. Imagine what white folks' reaction would have been. They've been calling each other on the phone. Hey, man, you got any niggas over there today? No, mine ain't here. But Bobby said he ain't got none either. What they doing? Where are they? It would then put that fear in them and show them that we can come together as a people and stand up. They said that was the one thing that hurt them, that frightened white folks in the 60s, where they didn't think they could anybody could pull us to the street like the civil rights movement did. But in turn, they wanted us to have the civil rights movement and not the Nation of Islam movement and not the Malcolm movement. So long as they could control the movement, but somebody that could bring us all together like that. That's where our power is. If we stand together as a united people and then negotiate and then say this is what we want. No, we ain't going to go. No, this is what we want to do. This is how we want to run things. That's our power. Our unity is definitely our power and not getting in to fit in. I agree with Stan on that wholeheartedly. We have to show the world that we as a people are together as one. And what you do to one of us, you do to all of us. And we stand united together. That's where our strength is, and that would be the message. And that would be white folks' kryptonite.
Okay, so earlier you said, you know, when we vote, and I'm going back to voting. You mentioned that, you know, that we're voting for the better white person. So back to my other question. So are you saying don't vote or yes to vote? Because either way, you know, I mean, like we said, we're voting for the better, and it's not just white people running. You know, there are black people that are also running that have also done, you know, some things in our communities or whatever. So I'm still a little confused on that because I have voted already, by the way. You know, I'm telling everybody, if you can't get out early and go vote, please go vote, but I'm trying to determine.
I heard that.
What is your stance on that?
As far as voting, my stance is I don't vote. Not like that.
Okay.
No, I do not participate in the political system. Because I agree with a white man who used to have a radio talk show in Richmond, Jerry Lund, who for years was Richmond's Rush Limbaugh. Okay, and I used to call his show and all, and he said, I ain't voting for nobody that wouldn't do what I would do if I was in office. And I've never found anybody that would do what I would do if I was in office, because they weren't letting me do what I would do in a political office. So therefore, I wouldn't run and I wouldn't vote unless I found somebody that I knew 100% would do what I want to do. I would get in a political office and I'm going to focus on, if I'm running for, say, city council, and I'm representing the Gibbon Court area or that district with all of the, you know, black district, then my focus going to be that district totally. What do we need to do to get these people, get my people free? What do we need to do to get knowledge and wisdom and uplift my people? I'm not going to be listening to Philip Morris or all the businesses that give you money, that run your campaign, so get you elected and going to get you more money so we can get you reelected in 2 years. No, that's getting in the fit. And if I get in office, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that people in Gilpin Court and Mosby Court and Wilkham Court and all that get the things they need, beginning with knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to come out of the situation they're mentally in. And if I can't do that, and everybody going to get elected going to do that, then I'm not voting for them. And I haven't seen anybody yet going to go for a political office that's going to do that. None. And like the white man said, if they ain't going to do what I'm going to do, I'm not voting for them. And that's, you know, that's me. You know, but I do see, and I know it's a big dream of mine, but I do see our greatest power or strength is us being one, coming together as one, and one voice and sticking together. And if we do that, the signs that will show the world is like, oh, my God, they standing up. You know,
they standing up.
You see,
one thing I will say about your comment, and I love that. I mean, don't get me wrong. But the worst thing you could do is expect other people, expect you and other people. Only you could be you. But there are some people out there that are doing good and can do good, and we do them a disservice if we don't back them to be able to go out there and do the work. You know, just because they're not going to do 100% of what we want them to do, or I want them to do, doesn't mean they can't do a good job, though. We kind of do them a disservice if we choose not to support them just because they're not 100% what we want them to do. In a way, that's kind of control.
Well, if you saw someone like that you thought would do an excellent job and would do the thing, I guess some of the things that we want to have done and all that, understand how politics are. Once you get elected and you're in that office, then the powers that be, if you want to get reelected, you're going to have to do what the powers to be want you to do. Not necessarily
right.
The people that voted that put you in office, okay?
That's true.
I've shared this story before. When I was in the Navy, you know, I was a, you know, successful career Navy man, and I was stationed in the Pentagon up in D.C., and I was coming home on the weekends. My mama was still living in Gilpin Court, and I would come home on the weekends. I'd have little cookouts in front of her apartment in Gilpin Court. I was going to Maggie Walker, teaching, you know, talking, giving lectures to the children and uplifting our people, what I thought I was doing and so forth. And I went to the restroom in Pentagon, and one of my white bosses came in, and he said, "Look, we know what you're doing down in Richmond." He said, "And it looks good on you." He said, "It really does. And it looks good on the Navy. Because you're thin, you wear a nice uniform, you look really good." He said, "We really appreciate what you're doing, and you know your people back down in Richmond appreciate what you're doing." He said, "But you got to understand something. All of them ain't coming up here with you. I don't care what you do. You ain't bringing all them up here with you." He said, "In fact, if you don't watch out, instead of them coming up here with you, you're going to be back down there with them."
Yeah.
So in other words, nigga, this is just for you, not for all them. You know, yeah, we see what you're doing, but don't think, oh, no, this, and, you know, and that showed me right there, no, this, then the Navy ain't for me. I'll gladly go back down there where I'm from. You see what I'm saying? And that's how politics are. You get absorbed by the people that's giving you the money, because unfortunately, black folks don't have a lot of money to be getting politicians, to be getting them that sort of way they loyal to them.
All right,
yes,
sister,
sir.
I got that.
Thank you, sister.
Cut it right there. I appreciate it. We're running out of time. Great conversation.
Thank you so much.
Right? The conversation continues, and that's what we need, right? We don't have to fight
each
other. We can agree to disagree. We can have our own perspective, and at the same time, we can dialogue for change, right? Or perspective. But that is the uniqueness of this show, where we can say what we think and be all right with it one way or the other. It's about family. It's about love. It's about loving ourselves. Continue to do those things that you know you need to do. and continue to do the work of working on yourself. And again, find the good within you and within yourself and become the best person that you could be today and every day. Until next week. Oh, yeah. Oh, oh.